The Oracle is back!
Curate topics, investment education, economic updates, retirement planning, youth empowerment, pension updates, real estate, entrepreneuring, and lots more. Monday to Friday on this radio channel, Stockwatch on Radio with Abayomi Obabolujo, empowering you for wealth.
Hello, welcome once again to your wealth class. I'm Abayomi Obabolujo. Today we've got a lot to do. A couple of weeks back, the central bank did announce that there's going to be an introduction of digital currency to the economy of Nigeria. And there have been lots of, news, positive, negatives, news of opportunities, news of risk, news of losses, all surrounding digital currency. So I'm being joined by Deolu Akinyemi. Deolu is a serial entrepreneur and blockchain enthusiast. I know Deolu as a man with many parts. All right, what I want to focus on in the next couple of minutes is digital currency. Deolu, I've heard about digital currency so much, and like I told you before we got into the studio now, that my brain does not seem to be catching well when it comes to digital currency. So far, so good. I'm not involved in it. Can you just give us a brief intro? And I want you to be explicit such that an illiterate like me in digital currency will understand what it entails, what it means.
Okay. So my own foray into digital currency started in 2016. And I was curious as well. I was wondering, this digital currency, what is it? Now, reality is, before 2016, before 2009, where it became cryptocurrency, there has always been digital currency. We had the age of e-cash, we had the time of digicash, we had e-gold in 2007. Now, the difference was all of these companies were centralized. It meant they were companies owned by individuals that produced digital currency backed by gold or backed by one resource, and then they were in control of it. But something very interesting happened in 2009. In 2009, there was a financial meltdown, a financial crisis, that almost wiped out a lot of people's finances. And it was caused because banks were not telling the truth. So even the ones we had trusted, the central banks, the conventional banks, had created a system where they had borrowed people money based on assets that were multiple financed, and then they had created the big hole that led to the crisis. So some people began to think, is there a way we can have money in such a way that we don't need to trust anybody? That the system already has trust embedded in itself. Is there a way we can do money in such a way that is transparent? That I can't go and look at my bank and say, the money I kept with them, where is it? I can't check it. I can't track what's happening in the bank because their ledgers are private. So what is I thinking? Can we have transparent ledgers where I can trace the history of every kobo that ever entered that system? So in thinking about how to do this, they began to create what they call cryptocurrency. Now, cryptocurrency was created to say, look, we don't want to have this kind of financial crisis again. And we don't want any government or any central organization to tell us where the money is. We want to be able to trace the history of every money. So we need a system that is immutable, cannot be changed, that is transparent, that doesn't need me trusting anybody because trust is embedded in the system, and allows me to be able to monitor and track whatever is going on there. That was the history of Bitcoin. Now, I got involved in this out of curiosity, and I decided to buy some Bitcoin. And then I waited for a while. I now heard, okay, it's not only Bitcoin, no. There's Ethereum, there's Verge, there's XRP, there's Ripple, there's so many tokens. Today, there are over 6,000 different digital currencies.
Which suggests that somebody is always coming. He saw that this one was making money, so he chose to create his own too.
So this was happening. You know, like I was giving an illustration. If I go to ShopRite, ICM, and I want to play, my children want to play games, they will go to the game arcade. They will use their 500 Naira, 1,000 Naira to buy game tokens. When they buy those tokens, as soon as they enter the game arcade, they don't spend Naira and Kobo again. They now spend these tokens. These tokens are the currencies for the gaming community. That exact same way is how cryptocurrencies are now created by different communities to define the different kinds of value they offer. So for example, let's imagine that I'm selling Reader. I can say, you know what? Anybody who is buying Reader from me, I want you to buy Reader from me with Reader tokens. I want to form a community of people who use this product. And I can say to them, if you want to buy these tokens, it is 1 Naira per token, or it is 10 Naira per token. But once you have this token, anytime you want to buy in the future, anytime we are doing events, we want to put our gate fee, we'll say this gate fee is 2 tokens. We'll say, if you want to get our new product that we are buying, for those who have only tokens, take it for 1 token.
So you started by using cash.
You started by using cash.
The legal currency.
Good. But we have now moved into a system to say, you know what, we don't know what's going to become of that cash we're holding. We don't know how it's going to be decimated against dollar in the future. We don't know how it will be depreciated against pounds in the future. But we want to have our own way of recognizing value. amongst ourselves within this ecosystem based on things that we want to do. Now, when Bitcoin was created to be decentralized, meaning nobody's in control. Everybody's in control. It's a proper democracy. So it's saying there are people who are going to have this because they are the ones mining it, and there's a protocol for mining. And there are people who are going to have it because they exchange value with somebody, and this is what they got. And banks, when banks have problems, okay, when countries have problems, the central government can say, go and print more money. And that creates some kind of inflation because there's now more cash available. There's no logic. Well, there's some logic, but to the common man, they're wondering why they're printing more money. Now, within the Bitcoin ecosystem, for example, the principle by which the supply will increase and by which the supply will stop was already defined from the beginning. This currency will be this number. It will increase by this value every year. And then by this particular date, it will stop increasing. Supply will stop. It will now be a function of all these tokens that are available that people will be able to exchange. That was for Bitcoin. And the beautiful thing with Bitcoin is as in, if you send money to me, I can look into your account and check everywhere you have sent money to in the last 20 years.
Using Bitcoin.
I can trace that transaction because I have access to it. I mean, it may not have your name, so it hides your name. But if you have sent me money before, I can look at it and say, where is the money coming from? Okay, somebody sent it to him. I don't know who, but I can see everything that is going on. It's difficult. You can't change it because of the way the blockchain is a database that is distributed. Once I do anything, everybody has access to it. So they created that to forestall the possibility of future financial crisis. But because of the supply and demand, which is supply is limited, demand is growing as people are growing in awareness. So the value is increasing and changing. So as of 2009, one Bitcoin, somebody spent 10,000 Bitcoin to buy pizza. One pizza. Now today, 10,000 Bitcoin. Today, one Bitcoin, last time I checked, was $49,000. So that means that person spent what? About $490 million, really, to buy pizza. But at that time, the value was 0.003. It was in a few hands, supply was much, the community was small, it had not derived value, so it was like that. But as we gain more awareness, as we grow more, you realize that the company of people who begin to become aware and knowledgeable increase, the supply is limited, so you know that in time, value will grow. Now, today we have about 18 million Bitcoins minted. The maximum number of Bitcoins that will ever exist is 21 million. And the last Bitcoin, I think, will be mined in 2100.
I'm just enjoying what you are telling me now. I will suggest that, you see, a copy of this will be made available online. If you go to as a matter of fact, I said, there's no need for W, just go on your browser and click stocksng.com. You are going to get this. And I'm very sure we are not going to stop the discussion today. Deolu, you will please find time. I know you are always traveling like Jala travel. We'll still create the time. I'm enjoying it. We might still come back to some of the things we've discussed. But a couple of months back, there is this this global, is it meltdown, do I say, or losses that people incurred in digital currency? How did it come about?
So what happens is, that's what we call it FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And it's not new. It happens, there's a cycle around it. So what happens is, adoption increases, meaning many people become aware and they need to buy. So for example, as of December last year, one Bitcoin was about $20,000. And then by March, it had grown to $60,000. It meant that if I had $20,000 in Bitcoin, in 3 months, you know, I now had $6,000. That's about a 300% increase in the value of what I had. Now, what caused that? Was that there was a lot of awareness that was happening. A number of people were getting to be onboarded. So that always creates buy. And of course, in order to basically, you know, create some correction in the market, China comes and says, we're going to ban miners. And that country says, we don't want this to happen. Why? Because money is also finite. People are taking money from what they used to put money into and putting it in this particular, the same way I described the game tokens. You use real cash to buy into that. So people see that, what's going on? People are driving to this space. So governments begin to become scared because one of the things that, you know, there's a team of people within the blockchain space, Bitcoin space, who are censorship resistant. And what does that mean? It means we don't want anybody telling us what to do with our money. We don't want anybody telling us what we can do. So for example, today Nigeria says, if you're traveling abroad, you can only spend $100 per day. That's censoring. Why are you holding my hands? So some people in the economy, in the space feel, no, I don't want censoring. Bitcoin allows you not to be censored. Okay, so governments rise, you know, different news come up. Some governments come like El Salvador and say, you know what, Bitcoin is a legal tender in our country. People can use it. So a country, there are countries that are embracing it. So other countries come and say, no, this is not a good idea. We're going to ban this, we're going to ban that. And it creates fear, It creates uncertainty, it creates doubt, and people begin to dump their tokens again, and then you see a correction in the market. But if you look, so December to March, there was like a bull run. The price was just going up steadily, going up steadily. And then around March, there was a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of doubt, and then the price began to come down as well because people were dumping, not enough people were buying. So it came to 30, it came to 29, and then somewhere around this August, around July ending, I think summer, you know, people have a little cash, people are on holiday, people start buying in again, and the value is currently going back to 48. So you find that up and down, up and down. But for me, from an investment point of view, I tell people, if you had put $1, and this is what Bitnob does, and you can check Bitnob out, if you had put $1 a month in Bitcoin over the last 10 years, $1. Now, if you do $1 a month, it means in the last 10 years, you have $120, $1 a month. The amount of money you have in Bitcoin today will be more than $2 million.
Now, Deolu, how now, if I want to buy stocks,
yeah.
I have Aruna here. He's a stockbroker. He represents a Global View Capital.
Okay.
I call him, and then I pay money to the account of Global View Capital. Global View Capital is a member of the Nigerian Stock Exchange. It's regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. The Securities and Exchange Commission is under the Ministry of Finance. Mm-hmm. So there is the government taking charge or controlling, and the Director General of the Securities and Exchange Commission cannot just wake up one morning and begin to do whatever he likes. In the case of Bitcoin, if, let us say, I've been convinced beyond every reasonable doubt that Bitcoin is doable, what is the process of getting into it?
Okay, so there are two broad segments. There are decentralized systems and there are centralized systems. And I'll tell you the difference. So centralized means there's a company in charge. So centralized will be an exchange. An exchange, we have many exchanges. We have Binance, we have Gates, we have KuCoin, we have Bilaxy, we have plenty of exchanges. BitForex, BitFinex, these are exchanges. Some of them are in the US, some are in Singapore, some are in Canada.
Who is the government interested?
Now, these are owned by individuals. They are like Brody Change, they are like banks, but they operate on the blockchain. So there are exchanges that say to you, you can come as Coinbase is one of the biggest in America. So they say you can pay to our account, and then we will give you this currency. And then you will have a wallet within our exchange where you can have your currency. Now there are exchange. So in centralized systems, I am basically dealing with a Mr. Obabolujo whose company is, let's say, Stockwatch. So let's say Stockwatch is doing exchange. Stockwatch will say, you know what? If you want Bitcoin, pay to me.
I pay you in a legal
tender that you are familiar with. And then you, because you have wallets for different people, I have an account with you. I have my account, I have my wallet, I have the money there. That's dealing with an exchange. Now, if I'm dealing with an exchange, the exchange basically hosts the value that I have. So, for example, if you wanted to buy cryptocurrency, you can buy with Bitnob. You can basically pay to Bitnob, pay to one of their agents, get the currency, and store it within their wallet. That is a bit centralized. This is also decentralized. Decentralized means I want to buy from you, but I don't want to keep it with you. I want to buy it from you, like a bank. I want to buy it from you, but I want to keep it myself. I want to keep my private keys. I want to keep all my whatever. I want to manage my resource myself so I can buy from you, have it in your wallet, and I can transfer into my own decentralized wallet where I better keep all my keys because it's like I'm trying to own my own bank.
Deolu, I would have loved that we continue, but we have to. We have to go. We have to host a workshop together where we will have enough time to really talk about this. All right, I've been speaking with Deolu Akeyemi, the Chief Executive Officer of Avenue to Wealth. He still does so many other things. Until when, I shall be returning to you again by the grace of God. I remain yours sincerely in wealth creation, accumulation, and preservation. God bless you. Enjoy your week.